Welcome back to Matt Flynn Direct on Devil Radio. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. As always, I strongly encourage everyone, go to the Devil Radio website, download our app, Devil Radio app, or download it from the Apple or Google store, and you take Devil Radio with you 24-7, wherever you go, listen to your favorite shows. And also, a lot of you have been kind enough to call in and say, if you'd like to help and support Devil Radio, we appreciate that very much. And there is a link on the website to support Devil Radio. Click on it. You can see all the ways you can support the station. If you're a candidate, you're crazy not to advertise in Devil Radio. The rates are very, very low. They'll produce the spot. Your name will be all over the state in progressive Democratic circles. And a lot of people who listen are independents and Republicans. You need name recognition. Very few people have it. You very likely don't have it, but you should have it. This is one way to get it. One very good way to get it. Name recognition leads to donations and contributions. It's the lifeblood of politics. Well, some good news. And I got to tip my hat to Nancy Pelosi. She got the so-called centrists and the so-called progressives in the House to come to agreement on the two infrastructure bills. Why do I say two infrastructure bills? Because there are two of them. One of them is, they always say roughly a trillion. It's about 1.2 trillion. It's over 10 years. So that would be about 60 billion, what? 60 billion a year in real costs, because 60 billion of it is also already paid for. It's already been allocated in prior COVID money. So it looks like 120 billion a year for 10 years. It's really about half of that to rebuild our bridges, roads, airports, water systems, and put rural broadband in, bring rural America, just like rural electrification in the 30s, into the modern times. It's a no-brainer. But there's another one, a $3.5 trillion infrastructure, the so-called soft infrastructure, that funds things like childcare, tuition, fighting climate change, elder care, a lot of other very, very good, more Medicaid, a lot of very good initiatives. That's very important too. And there was an impasse in the House. You remember that impasse. The progressives said, we're not going to vote for it, for the hard infrastructure, the $1.2 trillion for roads and bridges, until the other one passes. The House and the Senate is what they originally said. Well, in the Senate, we have 50 senators. We need every one of them, plus Kamala Harris to break the tie. The Republicans are all against this. And Kyrsten Sinema has already said she's not voting for $3.5 trillion. Manchin's wrinkled his nose. I'm reading between the lines. I think what's going on is they'll vote for something, but they are going to negotiate the amount down. And the progressives were insisting on the $3.5 trillion, holding the hard infrastructure hostage. Well, some centrists came along, about 10 of them. Rachel Maddow describes them as conservatives. I mean, these people look like left-wing nuts compared to Democrats 20 years ago or 30 years ago. I mean, the point of the matter is, what, you know, Biden was talked about as a centrist and a conservative. It's all a joke. The fact of the matter is, the Democratic Party is the conscience of this country. It spawned the labor movement, partnered with the labor movement to build the middle class in this country. So give me a break. These are not centrists. They're Democrats. And they went, hey, look, we want the hard infrastructure too. We'll vote for the other one, but we're not going to hold it hostage. And if the progressives don't like what Kyrsten Sinema gets the amount down to, we're going to lose the other. No way, Jose. So what we're going to do is, we want a vote on that one first. Well, this is a standoff. Well, Pelosi got together, very ingenious, very, very ingenious. And here's what it is. Everybody agreed. And the $3.5 trillion went to vote yesterday and passed party line 220 to 212. Every Democrat, progressive, centrist, or anything else you want to call them, voted for it. Every Republican, to all 212, even Liz Cheney and Adam Kinzinger, and as well as the nuts, you know, Lauren Boebert and Marjorie Taylor Greene, voted against it. But the deal is this. They set a hard date of September 27, a month from now. And on September 27, they will vote on the hard infrastructure bill, regardless of where the other one is. And the thought, the soft infrastructure, the plan is to vote for both of them on September 27 or by September 27. They will vote because this vote right now, by the way, you don't understand how Congress works. Quite frankly, they're tangling red tape and they're pain in the neck. So what you don't vote for a bill, you vote on whether you should in the future vote for the bill. You vote on the procedure, and that has to clear before you can vote on the bill. Well, that's what passed yesterday. They cleared the voting on the bill in the future. So what's going to happen, say, on September 27 or maybe the 26th, right around them, two bills are going to come up. One of them is going to be the soft infrastructure, the $3.5 trillion, and all 220 Dems will vote for it again because they've already voted to clear the vote on it. 212 Republicans will vote against it. Then they will also vote on the hard infrastructure. The hard infrastructure, the $1.2 trillion, and that will be 220 as well, and it will pass. They'll both go back. The hard infrastructure goes to Biden to sign because the fact is it's already passed the Senate. And if there are any slight tinkerings, there's a reconciliation committee and adjustment committee, and it's a ministerial exercise. The other one will go to the Senate. Kyrsten Sinema will go, no, I don't want $3.5 trillion. Biden will break her arm. She'll go, okay, well, I'll give you $1.5 trillion. And he'll break her other arm and she'll go, okay, I'll give you $2.3. And it's going to get, see what I mean? This is what goes on. That's why the $1.2 trillion is only $1.2. Biden wanted $2.5, got cut in half. Now, here's the accommodation and the risk. The accommodation is the progressives have said, and this is a significant accommodation, that we're not going to insist that it pass the Senate first. As long as it clears the House, which is what we're doing with everybody. And remember something, you think, well, why can't Pelosi do it anyway? Because she has no Republican votes, and we only have a majority of 220 to 212, an eight-person majority. If she loses four votes, it doesn't work. It doesn't work. And if four centrists say no to the one thing and four progressives say no to the other thing, nothing happens. What these idiots don't understand, Biden's approval ratings have tanked as a result of Afghanistan. They were at 55%, now they're at 41%. Nobody in the Congress in any kind of swing district other than the bluest of the blue is going to survive the head of the ticket being at 41%. Biden's not going to continue there. He'll go up, obviously, but getting this agenda passed will help everybody in the Democratic Party. These guys have got to understand that. They don't seem to understand it. I know they understand it. They're not recognizing it. So what do we do? Here is the challenge. September 27 comes up. There is a pledge to vote on the hard infrastructure and to pass it. And the soft infrastructure will be set up and passed. But let's say there's noise out of the Senate. Sinema and Manchin go, nah, we don't like this. We're going to delay it, blah, blah, blah. We can't pass it. We only have 48 votes on it. We can't pass it. People in the Progressive Caucus in the House may take umbrage. They may get snarky. And they may go, okay, then we won't vote for this thing after all and renege on the deal. I think if that happens, I think that's unlikely. That will sour the whole thing. Some arms will be broken. I suspect that what will happen is they get together. They've done this before. Three progressives will be permitted to vote against it, but not four, and it'll pass by one vote. And those three can go back to their districts and crow and prance and say they stood up to the man and all this baloney. On the other hand, Kyrsten Sinema had to get squeezed a lot harder than they've been squeezed, quite frankly. Joe Biden's got to squeeze him because Sinema is not going to get reelected in Arizona. if she doesn't have her Democratic base, and her Democratic base down there is very angry, and I don't blame them. Sinema and Manchin won't even suspend the filibuster for the one vote on the voting rights bill. There's some angry folks down there. One of the things the House passed yesterday was the John Lewis voter registration bill, voting rights. What that does is restore the power of the Justice Department to have to pre-clear any changes in states that had had racist voting practices historically. John Lewis had an even better idea. He said, why don't they have to pre-clear every change in every state? I think they should. I think they should. Why shouldn't they? Why single out some state, you know, as a pejorative of some sort? We look, you know, Marjorie Taylor Greene is in Georgia, but Lauren Boebert is in Colorado. We have bad people in New York and California too. Kevin McCarthy and Devin Nunes of California demand that you pre-clear everything. Why is this necessary? It's necessary because the U.S. Supreme Court on its own gutted the Voting Rights Act and said they didn't have to do it anymore. Who did they think they were? The Republicans, that's what they were. The Republicans. And as a result, there was a wave in a dozen states of restricted voting that could not have passed under the Voting Rights Act before. What the House now passed is another Voting Rights Act, the John Lewis Act, Voting Rights Act of 1965, beefing up the original one. So it's quite clear the congressional intent, quite clear the congressional intent. Now, Manchin and Sinema won't suspend the filibuster. This thing has gotten tacked on in the past in a money bill. And money bills can be passed by a majority in budget reconciliation. The parliamentarian of the Senate can go, no, that's just a trick to sneak it in. A majority can overrule the parliamentarian, 50 of them. Where's the discipline? Schumer, Biden, get there, crack some heads, crack Manchin and Sinema's heads, make it clear what we need. Okay, we're going to a break. The lines are still open, 844-967-2789. A lot more back after the break.